As you're all aware, Unitarians don't have a creed. And in our debates about religion, we always use reason. And while reason and logic are important, sometimes this means that we talk a great deal about religion. We talk about different beliefs, the problems with translating scripture between languages, the influence of history on religious development. Reason and logic are essential in the world of science and business, but words and logic are inadequate when addressing the human heart. Words and logic lose their value when we are confronted with the suffering that is the normal part of everyday life. And I think religion must speak to the human heart in the language of the heart. And I think poetry is that language. So this morning I decided to share some words from poets who have addressed religious or spiritual matters. The majority of the people here this morning probably grew up in a different religious tradition. And very often the religion of our childhood was one that spoke of God as being the God of love. But maybe our childhood experiences of that God were characterized by fear and guilt. We feared God. We were told how sinful we were, and joy and fun had no place in the religion of my childhood, certainly. Poetry is very important in the Islamic tradition, and Islam has produced two of the world's greatest religious poets. They are Rumi and Hafiz. They lived within maybe 100 years of one another, so almost 800 years ago they both lived. And their poems about God turn our inherited religious ideas on their head. All the things I had been told were wrong, they turn those on their head. Rumi began his life as an Islamic teacher and a jurist. He was a judge in the Islamic courts, so he was certainly a person of logic and reason. However, when Rumi met a man called Shams of Tabriz, Shams of Tabriz was a dancing dervish, and the two men fell in love, and they spent 4 years together, and this changed Rumi's life. Their meeting seemed to be predicted, and there's an account of that life. Shams was traveling throughout the Middle East, searching, praying for someone to love. He heard a voice say, "What will you give in return for this person?" And Shams replied, "My head." The voice then said to him, "The one you seek is Rumi." And he went and he found Rumi. They fell deeply in love, and they had a relationship that changed Rumi and his life forever. Rumi left the world of teaching law and became a poet. 4 years later, the two men are together, and there was a knock at the door. Shams went outside, and he was never seen again. It is believed that Rumi's son had had a part in his disappearance. Rumi spent many years traveling about searching for his lost love, Shams, and wrote poetry about his longing for him. And then one day he had a realization that Shams was actually part of him now. Maybe it's acceptance of his death, but he said, "Why should I seek? I am the same as he. His essence speaks through me. I have been looking for myself." The God we learned about led many of us to turn our backs on the very concept of God. The poet Hafiz also wrote poetry about God, and Hafiz particularly paints a very different image of God and religion. Life is not divided into what is religious and what is what we would call secular or other. Religion and God are part of every action and every thought. And this poem is what is about changing our attitude to the vengeful God. And it's called Now is the Time. Now is the time to know that all that you do is sacred. Now, why not consider a lasting truce with yourself and God? Now is the time to understand that all your ideas of right and wrong were just a child's training wheels to be laid aside when you finally live to veracity and love. Hafiz is a divine envoy whom the Beloved has written a holy message upon. My dear, please tell me, why do you still throw sticks at your heart and God? What is it in that sweet voice inside that incites you to fear? Now is the time for the world to know that every thought and action is sacred. This is the time for you to compute the impossibility that there is anything but grace. Now is the season to know that everything you do is sacred. Stop throwing sticks at your heart and God. What beautiful sentiments. I learned religion from nuns and priests. Most of us learned it from clergy. In this poem, Hafiz dismisses the idea that we need teachers to teach us about God. And God is not that miserable judge. He says, every child has known God. Not the God of names, not the God of don'ts, not the God who ever does anything weird, but the God who knows only four words and keeps repeating them, saying, come dance with me, come dance with me, come dance. Was guilt emphasized in your childhood? Sometimes we were discouraged from ever thinking that we had achieved anything of worth. If you thought you were doing well, that was something wrong with that as well. The next poem by Rumi encourages us to be aware of our emotions, to welcome all experiences. The Buddha taught us that only when we are aware of our thoughts and awake to how our thoughts affect and control our emotions, are we awake so that we can learn life's lessons. Most of the time we're unaware of our emotions. And this lovely poem by Rumi is called The Guest House. It encourages us to look at everything, every thought that comes into our head. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. One of the things I think is true about the Reformed Christian tradition is the old Protestant work ethic. That was really, really important. You're meant to work hard and do well. In this poem, Rumi writes, "Sometimes we honour God by just doing what we love." Today, like every day, we wake up empty and scared. Don't open the door to your study and begin reading. Take down a musical instrument. Let the beauty be love be what we do. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. Another thing with the traditional religion is that you saw in this morning's story how we often don't learn how to let go of the past, how to forgive, how to not just forgive people, but let go of past hurts, regrets, everything like that. But being human means that we find it difficult to let go of the hurt, the guilt, and past regrets. And this poem by a poet called Kabir invites us to shed our burdens like the people of Grudgeville. Again, most of our sadness in life comes not from the present, but from what we carry and our thoughts. O mind, you carry on your back your actions like a heavy sack. No wonder your shoulders ache. Another strain is enough to break your neck. So drop this stupid load. This is the last stop on the road where you can find rest. Stay and be love's guest. Another strain may break your neck. It's lovely. A more modern poem that speaks to many people is the poem Invictus by William Ernest Henley. The poem sustained Nelson Mandela during his time in prison. I just looked up something about Henley. As a child, he suffered from tuberculosis, and he had the need for these draining of abscesses for years that were very painful for him. And eventually, when he was about 12, his leg had to be amputated. But this is what he wrote about his decision not to let events get him down. And he was noted for his good humour in his life. Out of the night that covers me, black is the pit from pole to pole. I thank whatever gods may be for my unquenchable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstances, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And my final poem this morning is a reminder of the peace and serenity that we often achieve when we immerse ourselves in nature. And it's written by someone called Wendell Berry, and Wendell Berry is still alive as far as I know. But it's for one of those sleepless night types of thing. When the despair for the world grows in me, and I awake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go down where the woodrake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time I rest in the grace of the world, and I'm free. Amen.